Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
So can you believe it? We are on the last Sunday of Advent. Seems like we just started Advent, that season of celebrating the coming of Christ into the world, the first time in that season of anticipating the return of Christ, that season that actually continues through our lifetime because we are in that in-between time between the comings of Christ. And in those in-between times, we're told to keep watch, to be alert because we do not know the hour of the day, and so to be ready. We also wait, not that passive, agitating waiting, but an active waiting as we continually turn our hearts and minds to God and live our lives faithfully. And worship, not just the mere ritual, but that giving of our full lives as Mary did through submission, trust, and praise. Today we're going to be talking about being lost in wonder. When I was in seminary, there were a group of us that got together on Wednesday evenings for dinner, and we would bring up some theological question that would stimulate our conversation throughout the dinner. Well, one Wednesday, Mike, our group leader, came in and sat down and shared a story from a time something he had seen on the quad during the week. He told us about a little boy, a toddler-aged child, who would go along, you know, on the quad and would bend down in the grass as little kids do. It's so cute. And he'd point at the ground, leap up in the air, run around wildly, laughing. He'd stop, squat down again, and do this whole ritual all over again. And so Mike watched this child for quite a while as this child was just lost in wonder and wild abandonment. He came and he sat down at the table, Mike did, and he looked at all of us and said, "What has happened to our childlike wonder?" Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was an interesting conversation. It was actually proved to be a more difficult conversation to get around than some of the more deep theological things that we discussed. But I often think about that. You know, in our preschool, my favorite group, and I love all the children, but my favorite group are the little three-year-olds. You know, there's a reason terrible twos are terrible twos. And three-year-olds are kind of one step above that. And the reason is they're into everything because everything is new. It's exciting. It's different. You know, where we kind of look at things and we've lost that wonder, but for them, everything is new. And I love Christmas because Christmas is a season of wonder. I remember as a child, we'd decorate the tree, and then my brother and I would lay under it and just watch the lights twinkle off the ornaments. And we could do that for hours. And Sunday morning, that just, at the Christmas tree. You know, there's just wonderful wonder at the season. And then, of course, there's the story of the baby Jesus. As we look at manger scenes and we listen to the story told and retold, and how all these events God brings together in the fullness of time that the baby is born. But this morning, I want to look behind that familiar story to the real true wonder of Christmas. And the true wonder isn't about angels and the shepherds keeping watch and the wise men from the east, the innkeeper, not even Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. The true wonder, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness and to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory as the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Do you see the wonder? You know, John gives us a totally different perspective on that first Advent. So if you'd like, I'm going to walk through this again. If you'd like to follow along, it's John chapter 1. Your Bibles are in the pews or on your electronic device. In the beginning, John writes, you know, this is an echo from Genesis chapter 1. John takes us all the way back to the very beginning of time when God spoke the heavens and the earth into being out of nothingness. And in that beginning was the Word, a term that was familiar to both Jews and Greeks of John's time. The Greeks used that term in reference to the universe to describe the rational principle that governs all things. And the Jews used the term as a reference to God. John used a term that both Jews and Gentiles would understand beyond what we would understand the word to mean, but as something far greater. And if there's any question in the room, John is speaking of Jesus Christ. And so the Word, John writes, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word was not created, but coexisted with God in divine fellowship from the very beginning, that divine mystery we call the Trinity. The Word is not an attribute of God or a creation of God. The Word is God. And we learn that through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made. Paul affirms this in his letter to the Colossians when he writes, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." And so we learn that the Word created. The Word is the reason all was created, and the Word, who is Christ, holds all things together. And then John says, in Him was life. That's one of John's big, big themes. The word life, Zoe, shows up 36 times in John's gospel. In John's gospel, we learn that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. John tells us that he is life, that life is contained within him, and thus he is the source of all life, physical and spiritual. And as John closes his gospel, he writes, "These things I have written to you so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him." And then John continues here by telling us that in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. Isaiah wrote, in anticipation of the birth of Christ and the coming of Christ, "A people walking in darkness have seen a great light." We know from John's gospel that Jesus is the light of the world. And if we consider what light does, it dispels darkness. It dispels fear. It illumines our path, sheds light on the dirt. And if you come to my house in the afternoon when the sun is shining in, my furniture will leave no doubt that there is dirt. And even if I dust it, there will be dirt tomorrow. And it overcomes ignorance with insight and clarity. This is what Jesus, the Word, the light, is. He dispels the darkness, spiritual darkness, the darkness of hate and grief and distress. He dispels our fear because perfect love casts out fear. He illumines our path, sheds light on those unclean spots in our hearts and in our minds, and creates in us a new heart and a new mind. And he overcomes our ignorance with the truth of his grace. And the greatest part of all is the darkness cannot overcome it. Do you see the wonder? It's not the pageant that we read about every week, even though that's beautiful and so beautiful, so full of wonder. But what John writes in verse 14 is it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Consider the wonder of this. The eternal, infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, unchanging creator of the universe became human. John 1:18 tells us that no one had ever seen God. In the Old Testament, we read stories of Abraham. Abraham's visited by God through the person of three strangers. Moses encounters God at a burning bush. The people of Israel encounter God in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Elijah in a deafening silence. And even Isaiah's grand vision of the throne room of God, he only sees a glimpse of the hem of the robe of God's garment. No one has seen God until the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In John 14, Philip asks Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus responds, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus made God known to us that we might see God face to face. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. We haven't seen Jesus because he lived 2,000 years ago. And yes, it's true. He no longer walks the earth, but we do see him. You know, if you consider the sun in the sky, if we look at it directly, it will burn our eyes. We know the sun better by what it illumines and illuminates. The same is true with Jesus the Son. There's a song that's sung in the Emmaus community particularly. "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord?" Kathy was already nodding her head before I even said it. The song goes, "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes, and he'll show it to you." And it goes on to talk about the beauty in creation and the faces of one another, that as we're looking, we see Christ and thus see God. You know, there's this philosophical question that if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to see it, does it make a sound? You know, beauty, awe, and wonder happen all the time, whether we perceive it or not. And the same is true with the beauty and wonder of Christ. It's all around us. And of the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you see that wonder? because I really don't want you to miss that this morning. So I want you to go back now with me to the Matthew text. And I'm not going to talk about the angelic visit or Joseph's dilemma or even the birth. I want to focus on those two names. In Matthew 1:21, we are told that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek word for is the Greek form of the Jewish name Joshua, which means God saves. You know, a few years ago in Sholo, we were planning the Christmas Eve worship services, and we were doing a candlelight and communion service. One of my members came in. She was quite upset and quite adamant that we should not have communion on Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve is a happy, joyful time. And communion remembers the death of Jesus. She says, it's just not appropriate at Christmas time. And I said, oh, but it is. It is so important. Because Jesus was born to die, as hard as that is for us to hear, it is why he was born to die, to save us from our sins. The shadow of the cross was already cast upon the manger when he was born. And if we continue in Matthew 1:21-22, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew affirms what John has told us, the true wonder of Christmas. Author Max Lucado tells the story of a neighbor who is trying to teach his six-year-old how to throw baskets, to play basketball. And they were in the backyard, and the dad took a couple of shots, and he said to his son, do it just like this, son, it's easy. And so the little boy tried very hard, but just could not get the ball that 10 feet in the air. He grew more and more frustrated, and finally, after hearing his father tell him how easy it was for the 10th time, he said, Dad, it's easy for you up there. You don't know how hard it is from down here. We cannot say that to God. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus became man and lived among us, he walked where we walk, suffered as we suffer, and was tempted as we are tempted. You know, when your heart is broken because someone has let you down, Jesus understands. Because when he asked his disciples to pray for him in the garden, they fell asleep. And when he was arrested, they deserted him. When people hate us, Jesus totally understands. When death takes someone away from us, Jesus understands, because he grieved the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist, and wept at the grave of Lazarus. When we are tempted, we recall Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we can rely on his teaching to resist. When life makes no sense to us, and it seems like God has abandoned us, we can understand what Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? No one can say God does not understand, because God in Christ walked in our shoes. So as we put those two names together, we get a complete understanding of the greatest mystery and wonder humanity has ever known. He is Jesus, the Word who was with God in the beginning, who is God and is the bearer of salvation. And he is Emmanuel, God with us, the Word made flesh. In a home, there was a small manger scene sitting on a table just inside the doorway. On Christmas Day, the people hurried past it, barely noticing the tiny figures gathered around the infant tucked in golden straw. In the morning, children raced by it on their way to the Christmas tree. At noon, arriving guests pushed past it, and one even accidentally knocked over a shepherd as he took off his coat. Later in the afternoon, a well-fed assembly of adults and children moved somewhat slowly by the manger again as they drifted from the dining room to the living room. Almost none of them stopped to look at the manger, except for two. A woman, walking with a cane, paused in front of the scene. She gently put the shepherd back in an upright position and then looked at the child in the middle of the figures. As she gazed, she became aware of her small grandson by her side. As voices drifted in from the living room, the two continued to look deeply on the scene. A smile spread across the woman's face. The child took her hand, and in the midst of a day filled with much busyness, the two of them were lost in wonder. As they gazed upon the Word who became flesh, the one who is Emmanuel, who is Jesus, who saves us, the one who is, who was, and who will come again. Let us this season recapture that wonder of God with us. Amen.